interesting that the same statement is given at least four times in the Bible, almost the same statement. In the parables, there are often little lines that are so significant, and here is one: "For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." You get that? The Lord said, "Here's a guy that has some things, I'm going to give him more. Here's a guy that doesn't have any things, I'm going to take away what he has and give it to the fellow that has something." Well, I'm not sure all that's implied there, but there's one thing for dead sure. There's no communism implied here. I mean, the Lord said, the fellow doesn't have anything, take it away. Now, he's talking about a fellow that was too lazy and didn't work and didn't earn it. And he said, here's a fellow hath not, I'm going to take away what he has. Here's a fellow that hath in abundance, I'm going to give him some more. About the same thing is given in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 28, where it says, this is talking about the fellow who had one talent and went and buried it. But recall, God gave five talents to one man, two to one, and one to one man. And the fellow had five talents, came back and said, hey, I went out and invested my talents, and I brought back five more. And the Lord said, that's mighty good. And the next fellow had two talents. He went out and invested his two talents. That's money, by the way, a bit of money. And came back and said, hey, look what I did. I invested the two talents I had. I've got two more. Now I've got four. And the Lord said, I'm sure proud of you. That's mighty good. And his fellow went out and had one talent. He came back and said, I knew you were a hard taskmaster. And I was afraid to come back or afraid to take a chance. So he said, I just buried the one talent, and I'm back and brought that one talent. Didn't multiply at all. And the Lord said, take therefore the talent from him and give unto him which had 10 talents. Here's a fellow only had one. Another fellow had 10. The Lord said, take the one away from the fellow that has only one and give it to the fellow that had the 10. Why did he say that? Well, he said, if I'm going to make some money off my talent, make some interest off my talent, make a profit, I better give it to the guy that's making profit. So the fellow that made profit and worked at it and had 10 talents, he got the one talent, and the fellow only had the one talent, he lost his talent because he wasn't making anything off his investment. And there's about the same thing said in Mark 4:45. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And then you'll find about the same thing in Luke chapter 8. In verse 18, it says, take heed therefore how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Now, what's our Lord saying? Our Lord is teaching us something that is impossible to stand still. Here's a hard-to-understand law, not only of the Bible, a law of nature, a law of politics, a law of government, a law of athletics. It's a law. To him that hath, he'll get more. Let's take, for example, here's a football team called Ohio State University. Ohio State doesn't need any more football players for a while. But Ohio State will get more football players. Why? Because here's a young man. He's an all-state football player. And he's being courted and sought after by universities all over America. Wonder where he's going to go. You think he's going to go to East Texas Baptist, where I went to college? They won a game in 1932. You think he's going to go there? No. Where is he going to go? He's going to go to Ohio State. Why? They have a winning tradition. And the team that has gets more. They already had Archie Griffin. Now they got his brother. Why? Because they had something, and folks who have talent and folks who can play football want to go where there's a winning tradition. Take the same thing about basketball. Wonder why UCLA's won the national title 9 out of the last 10 years. You know why? There's something exciting about that. Every great young basketball player would like to go where he can win the national championship. And so he goes where they already have good players. And normally, a team like UCLA, University of Indiana, other good basketball teams, University of Maryland, normally, their second team can beat most colleges, the first team of most colleges. Why? Because there is a definite law. Do you ever wonder about this? You can take the top 10 football teams in the Associated Press or United Press poll any year you want to, And basically, they're the same 10 teams, just rearranged every year. For example, there's Ohio State. Every year, I do not recall when Ohio State was in the top 10. There's University of Michigan. I do not remember when the University of Michigan was not in the top 10. There's University of Oklahoma. Year after year, University of Oklahoma is in the top 10. There's University of Alabama. Forgive me for using that bad word here in a Christian meeting, but University of Alabama. They're in the top 10 year after year after year. There's University of Texas. The reason I'm using Texas after Alabama, I like to rise from the ridiculous to the sublime as soon as I can and go from Hades to the paradise as quickly as possible. But year after year, University of Texas, they may be number 8 one year. They may be number 6 the next year. They might be number 2 the next year. They may be number 1 the next year or number 9 the next year. But how long has it been since you've seen the final Associated Press poll and Alabama was not in it, or Texas, or Oklahoma, or Notre Dame, or Penn State, or USC? Oh, shut up, all of you, for a while while I get down to the preaching. University of Nebraska, so forth. But now, what am I saying? I'm saying occasionally some of the team will creep up in there. And by the way, during the season, Missouri will creep up, but they'll fall out usually. During the season, Texas A&M will creep up, and some referee will group them up, and then they'll fall out. Or occasionally, maybe some team like University of Minnesota or other team will creep up, but you wait till the season's over. Almost every year, you'll find Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Alabama, Notre Dame, Nebraska, Penn State. In some order, you'll find. Now, I wonder why that is. That's because they get the best players. Wonder why they get the best players. That's because they have the best team. Wonder why they have the best team. That's because they get the best players. You see, what I'm trying to say is, now, same thing is true in pro ball. You look at the playoffs almost every year, you'll find Minnesota is in the playoffs. You'll find Dallas is in the playoffs. You'll find Pittsburgh is in the playoffs. You'll find Washington nearly every year is in the playoffs. You'll find Los Angeles almost every year is in the playoffs. You'll find Oakland just about every year is in the playoffs. Now, I wonder why. I'll tell you why. Because there's a certain attraction about success. And God himself is so attracted toward success that God says, when I see a winning team, I'm going to put the good players on that team. When I see a fella who's getting the job done for me, I'm going to give that fella extra. And if I see a fella that's not succeeding, a fella that has a losing season, take away from him and give what I've got to the fella that had the winning season, because I won't invest in a winner. God's that way. People flock to success. When a good player chooses a school, he goes to a successful place. When you see a sheep, there's usually a flock. Poverty remains poor, and money makes money, and a hen lays an egg where there's a nest egg normally. You folks who came from the farm, is what I'm talking about. We used to have a little, what was it, glass egg? Called it a nest egg. And there was an egg. You put that egg in the nest where the hen would lay. Now, what you're trying to do? You're trying to just fool the old hen. That's what you're, not your wife, but another old hen. You're trying to fool the old hen. And the hen sees that egg there, and the hen gets the idea. That's where you're supposed to lay eggs. I heard about a little banny hen that was talking to another banny hen, and there was a dinosaur egg over on the other side of the fence. And the little banny hen said to the other banny hen, said, look at that, let's do the best we can. And there's something challenging about it. I mean, there's something, when you see something, look, laugh when I tell them, don't wait so long, I've got a lot to say here. We'll never go home if you have those delayed laughs. But that's one of the ones that the docs will go to sleep by the way. Now the same is true in the spiritual. Grace bringeth more grace. Good spiritual capital multiplies the stock. And sins also run in schools. Let me ask you a question. You had some money to invest in stocks, in the stock market. What would you choose? Would you choose some little fly-by-night outfit that hasn't had it made? Or would you choose some place about to go bankrupt and try to help them out? You say, I know a place just about to go under. They need a little help. I'm going to help them out. Would you do that? No, you'd go invest your money in ITT or McDonald's hamburgers because you know both of those are going to make it okay. or you'd invest your money in Texas Instruments, or you'd invest your money in Standard Oil. You'd go to some company that has given good dividends and has a good record, and a company that has brought forth fruit and rewards and dividends, and you'd invest in that kind of company. Why? Because the successful companies draw the investment. Now, if you're that way, don't you think God's that way? Let me say this. Did you know that the Lee Robertsons and Jerry Falwells and people like that are not by accident? You know why? God looks down and says, look at old Falwell. He's getting the job done. I think I'll invest something in him. Looks down to some lazy rascal home in bed at 9 o'clock every morning, comes to work about 10 o'clock, never launches out on faith, never takes a dare, and he looks down. I think I'll just take away from him and give to Falwell. I'll take away from him and give to Robertson. Why? Because of the dare, a challenge, a thrill about somebody that's successful. Now, if I've got enough sense not to bet on a loser, God's got enough sense not to bet on a loser. If I've got enough sense not to invest in a loser, God's got enough sense not to invest in a loser. Young man came to me last night, a good young man, and I hope this will help him. He said, everything I do fails. I wonder why. Well, after a while, the Lord finds out you're a failure and just doesn't invest anything in your life. The Lord says he's not going to win anyhow. But there's some people, thank God. God says, I'm gonna. Pardon me putting it this way, I'm going to put my money on him. He's going to win. God says, I want a good investment. I want to make some interest off my money. And so the Lord says, I'm going to take away from this lazy rascal over here and give it this guy that gets up early. I'm going to take it away from this fellow sleeps and takes off Monday and plays golf and goes bowling on Tuesday and has picnic on Wednesday and then works 2 hours on Thursday. I'm going to take my money off him. I'm going to invest my money in this guy that works pretty hard and stays at it all the time. I'm not going to invest my money in this church that doesn't give an invitation on Sunday morning or invitation on Sunday night. I'm going to invest my money in a church that gets people saved with the hundreds and hundreds. And God says, take away from him that hath not and give to him that hath in abundance, because God is that way. And now then, there are two big lessons I want you to learn. The first lesson is, you cannot sit still. You cannot sit still in God's Word. Like an airplane flying through the sky, you can't pull over and park. No way. You cannot sit still. Here's a Christian. He grows to a certain place. And he grows and grows and grows and grows. After a while, he stops. I'm tired of all of this. I'm as good a Christian as anybody else. I'm so busy now. I don't have any time to do anything. I'm doing all I can do. I'm giving all I can give. Then the Lord said, sorry about that, but you can't stand still. Listen, either you get two or you lose your one. That's what the Lord said. He said, I'll give you one talent. He said, I'll give you, let's just dollar bill. One talent. And the Lord says, okay, Brother Vineyard, I'm gonna invest in you. You go, and okay. Now then, bring that talent back. How many you got there, fella? Got one. You want to keep it, don't you? Uh-huh. Sorry about that. You can't keep it. You'd have had two, you've kept the one. But since you had them got two, then they have the one back. I'll give it to somebody else. Okay, I'll give it to you. Lord Wayne? You get $2. Okay, it's Boardway. Come back here. I gave you a dollar. What'd you do about it?
I used it. You got another one.
God, let me have them then. Thank you very much. You can be seated now. And now, no, I'm going to give him mine.
You get to keep it now.
Now, why did he keep it? Well, hey, what? He's going to go back and make four. You think I'm going to invest in this rascal? He's got my money. You think God's going to invest in him? Of course not. Why? Because God wants dividends off his investment, too. You lazy Sunday school teacher. You I just don't know why everybody else has success. Because God won't trust you what you've got. That's why. No, Sunday school class doesn't stand still. You go up or you go down. Nobody in God's work stands still. You go up or you go down. No church stands still. It goes up or it goes down. No Christian stands still. It goes up or it goes down. Israelites didn't stand still. They either had to go inside the promised land or go back to the wilderness. You don't stand there at Kadesh Barnea. Nobody lives in Kadesh Barnea. Everybody lives in the promised land or they go on back to the wilderness. You keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. People say to the house, don't you think First Baptist Church is grown enough? No, I don't think so. Don't think so. Well, you don't think you'll hold your own. Nobody holds his own. You don't hold your own. You get some more, you lose your own. God says, he hasn't gotten any more. Take it away! As sure as I'm standing here, God's going to take away some of his blessing off folks in this church because you're trying to hold the status quo. Now, you may hold the status quo in the world, but you won't hold the status quo in God's business. God says you don't keep on bringing forth. He said that that fig tree that had no fruit, he cursed it and placed a curse on it. Why? Either God doesn't like fig trees that don't bring forth figs, and God doesn't like Christians that don't bring forth Christians. Unless you're going forward, you're going backward. Unless you're going up, you're going down. Unless you're moving onward, you're retreating. You never stand still as far as God's concerned. Ah, boy. But here's another Christian. The Lord says, hey, I'm going to give this Christian little. I'm going to deposit something in him. And the Christian comes back and says, I got $2 now. And the Lord says, hey, let me give you another dollar. And good night, I got 20. I got somebody else's pants on for sure. I must have got Russell Anderson's britches on here. But Lord says, I'll give him some more. And that's what the Lord does. By the way, that's what God has done. I came to God years ago, and God gave me just a little bit. I never had much talent. I never have been a 10-talented fella. God gave me just a little bit. And I said, dear Lord, I'm not much, but I'll use it for you. And he gave me maybe a penny or two, and I brought back 4 or 5 cents. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you a nickel now. And I brought back a dime. And the Lord said, okay, I'm going to give you a dime now. And brought back 20 cents. And now all these years, one reason God has blessed this little preacher, not because I'm so talented, not because I'm so smart, not because I'm so pretty. Well, let me just paraphrase that a little bit. Not because I'm so pretty, not because I'm dynamic. No, when I had a little bit, I tried to use it for God, and I aim to keep using what God gives to me. Somebody, little house, what are you going to start next around here? I don't know. We got a college, and we have a high school, and we have a grade school, and we have a cemetery. I guess the maternity ward, we got everything except place to get them born. We got a place to bury them, and a place to rear them, and I guess we have a place to get them born now. I'm not sure what we'll start, but we'll start something. Oh, you say, well, the house, we can't afford it. Well, now, if we keep on investing, we can. You say, where is it going to stop? Well, I imagine bankruptcy. No, I'm not sure where it's going to stop, but I know one thing, it's not going to stop. Just as sure as this church says we have enough, let's just set on what we have. God will say, where is your, where are my dividends? Dividends. And we'll say, Lord, didn't make any this time. The Lord say, here, give me back the money. I'll let somebody else have it. I'll let a preacher have it that trusts me and launch out on faith. I'll have a church have it, have another church have it that has some faith. I'll have another church have it that'll do something. I'll let a church have it that'll keep on going. And so a Christian's that way. Here's a church, same way. You know what? We have coaches and everything in our schools, and I don't want to set myself up as a athletic authority, but I'll be honest with you. If I were a coach, I'd never sit on a lead. And you coaches, maybe you would, and I'm not trying to teach you how to coach, though I think I could in some cases, but I'm not trying to teach you how to coach. But, Alvin, I'd never sit on a lead. I don't know. I've seen it happen. Here's a basketball team. Have a 5-point lead, 5 minutes to play. They've outplayed the team the whole game. Well, freeze the ball. I've seen as many games lost that way as won. Listen, whatever you use to get that lead will be the best way you can keep that lead, in my opinion. I've never sit on a lead. Dallas Cowboys, pardon the expression, 2 weeks ago played Los Angeles. They're 21-0 at halftime, Dallas over Los Angeles. Roger Staubach came out and said, we didn't come out to play conservative football. We came out passing. I was afraid they'd come out and play conservative football and try to sit on the lead. You've seen football teams in the last few seconds. They have what they call the umbrella defense. And they'll let you have the short passes. Before you know it, you've worked your way down the field. They've scored the winning touchdown, and you've lost the game. I just do not believe in freezing the ball. I don't believe in sitting on a lead. Now, what am I saying? I'm saying keep on going. Good night, keep on going. You students about to check out and go home. God pity your backslidden soul. What you say for the highest is no other place to go. I wish you knew that boy down at East Texas Baptist College that came to school on a prayer, just a prayer and a shoestring. He said, I'm not going to leave till I get my degree. Now, I'm not suggesting you students do this, but I'll tell you what he did. He decided he wasn't going to leave. And so, they said, you can't enroll in school. He came and enrolled anyway. They said, you got to get out of the dorm. He stayed in the dorm. And the dean, the men went down and said, look, you got to leave. And he said, carry me. And the dean of students took that fella and sat him outside, and he sat on the front porch all night long. He said, I'm not going to go. And he said, I am staying as close to my dormitory room as you'll let me stay. Now he says, can I stay in the yard? If I've got to, I'll sleep in a tent in the yard all semester. But I'm not going home. I'd be ashamed to show my carcass up back home and turn back. You say, well, Brother Hiles, how can I make it? Nobody's asked me to shovel snow at our house yet. Anybody ask you? Anybody ask you? Anybody ask you? Your house sure needs it, boy. Anybody ask you? Anybody ask you? Anybody ask you? Sort of a quitter, aren't you? I know you're trouble. A lot of you young men. And listen, if a single boy can't come to Hiles Anderson and say, he's either a lazy rascal or he's a shiftless, thriftless kind of a skunk. I know men in this house tonight who came here with 3 and 4 and 5 kids and a wife, and they stayed, and they saved, and they tucked it, while some of you fellas are painting the town red and wasting your money, and you go home like a little coward, a yellow-bedded coward. I couldn't afford it. I couldn't. Get out of here. I don't want you around here. Quitter. Quitter. I'm just going to go home. Good. Get. You're not our type anyhow. But don't you show your dirty carcass here again, you quitter. Some of you men ought to go to the women's college somewhere. WCSS, Women's College for Stupid Sisters. Go there. Buy your new cars. Go out and eat and buy your steaks. Buy your new suits of clothes. Come up and can't pay your bill. I was pastor of the Grange Hall Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas. I was a student at East Texas Baptist College of Marshall, Texas. I was a married man. I didn't have enough money to live on. I got me a lawnmower. I don't mean electric lawnmower. I mean a push lawnmower. I paid me $20 for a push lawnmower at Western Auto Store in Marshall, Texas. I went up and down the streets of Marshall, Texas, and knocked on the doors of people who some folks even are members of my church, and I mowed yards for 50 cents an hour so I could stay in school. Don't you tell me if you're a single man you've got to quit. Not till you come and begged us to shovel the snow off our driveways. Not that you, in the summertime or springtime, to beg folks to mow their yards, take out their garbage. You don't have to turn back. And by the way, you never will stop. You say, I'm going to just hang here in limbo for a while. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're going to keep on going, or you're going to turn back. And 50% of the students that leave this college now and go home will never walk back on the campus again because you're a quitter. By the way, I'm not talking that about these girls who, in most cases, have no way to get jobs. I'm talking about you fellas that buy your hamburgers and cheeseburgers and french fries and onion rings and live it up and don't pay your bills, and then comes time to go the semester and you yell like a little dog that's been hit by a rock and say, I just can't go back again. I can't go back again. Rise up and be a man. So the boy stayed.
They said, you can't stay anywhere on this building. The boy got him a sleeping bag. He said, I can't go to college, but I'm not going to go home. And for one semester, that boy didn't go to college, but he slept in a sleeping bag in the front yard of the dormitory. For one semester, outside. If it rained, he got him a little piece of tent or some kind of covering and stayed there. He said in so many words, God has given me a little talent, and I'm going to use it. And that young man graduated. Why? Because he's got something you haven't got, that's why. By the way, brother, if you cannot, as a single boy, single man, find your way to make it in Hiles Anderson College, you wait till you fight the battle of having to have $2.5 million to pay off a school someday. You wait till you fight the big bears and the big lions. You wait till you run with the men. You wait till Satan doubles up his fist and puts you through test after test after test when you get in the day. Brother, if you can't play in the 3-I League, you can't play in the World Series. Stay in there. Same way through all Christian activity. Concerning separation, no way to stop. No way to stop. You either keep growing in separation or you go back. Same way it's true in praising God. You keep growing in praise for God, adoration for God, you go back. You keep becoming a better soul winner or become a worse soul winner. You stop running, you freeze. I've seen it happen to churches. I've seen it happen to preachers. You know, I was thinking the other day, in all of this hoopla-la about the overloaded bus, one of our buses had 113 people on it. We have read and reread what folks have said. We've read the Tribune. We've read the other paper, the local papers, and so forth. But the thing is, there's something been almost completely overlooked in all this. And that's this. Some little zealous fella got out and talked to 113 folks into coming to church. Nothing been said about that. Some little guy had enough zeal to run the thing over. Nothing been said about that much. You give me the guy. Brother, if I've got to break a law, I'd rather have it too full than too empty. I mean, you know, if I'm gonna get caught, I'll get a ticket. I dead sure get a ticket for speeding and then overpark. I've often said this. Don't count the crowd, brother, when you come to feed the 5,000. Don't count the crowd. Count the loaves. Don't look at the hillside. Look at the basket. You cannot sit still. I'm talking to 1,000 folks tonight who are sitting still. You're not as good a Christian as you were last year. You tried to hold your own, but you haven't held your own. You're a worse Christian than you were a year ago. Why? God has placed in your hand talents, gifts. He's entrusted you as a steward, and you've been an unjust steward. And that's one reason why some of you folks can't teach Sunday school classes. God takes away your singing voice. That's why some of you folks don't sing in the choir, and God makes it where you can't sing too well. That's why some of you folks don't go soul winning. God takes away your Sunday school class from growing. God says, here's a fella who's getting the job done. He said, let him have some more money. I want to invest in him. But God says, here's a fella who's doing nothing. Take what he has. Give it to this guy over here. He'll make some money. He'll make some profit. Now I want to say this second thing, and that is this. Attributes crystallize as we get older. Attributes crystallize as we get older. We call it being sought in our ways. If you keep on being unproductive, then you'll go down and down and down and down as you get older. Have you ever noticed that that sweet people get sweeter as they get older, and sour people get more sour as they get older? Anybody like me, when you were a kid, you had several ladies living in your block. Some were sweet and some were sour. We had in our neighborhood in Texas, and I was a 13-year-old boy. We had one of the sweetest old saints you ever knew in your life. If we'd knocked the ball in her yard, she'd go get the ball for us. I mean, she loved to see us play ball. We were playing ball out there in the vacant lot one day, and she saw us playing ball. She sent her husband over, old man, sent him over, and he gave me a ball that came from a big league ball game that he had had for years. He said, I want you to have it. One of the sweetest old ladies I ever saw, had one of the sweetest husbands I ever saw. There's another lady in our neighborhood. Every time the ball would go in her yard, she'd steal the ball. Boy, she'd go out and get it, or she'd call the police. You know what we did one Halloween night? It wasn't trick-or-treating. You say, you shouldn't have done it. I know it. But if you've got to do it, that's the kind of person you ought to do it to. We built a little fence around her yard, a little fence about that high, just with old scrap lumber. Went out to the garbage dump, filled a truck with garbage, and brought it back and filled her yard with garbage. You say, you shouldn't have done it. Nobody's perfect, you know that. No, I don't think you. And by the way, anybody does that to me, no, I don't believe in doing that. And my mother didn't either. That's where I lost my belief in doing it. My mother took care of me so well. Next Halloween night, I went out and sang Christmas carols out in her yard. But have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed that the crabby get crabbier as you get older? I wonder why that is. God says he's not investing. I'll just go ahead and pile up that crabbiness. Or I'll pile up that sweetness. And that means, brother, that as far as I'm concerned, I want to just keep on reproducing and producing and giving God dividends. So as I get, by the way, I know, Dr. Billings and I, we often kid about it. I know we're corny. Now, I know we'll tell 10 jokes to get one good one. Dr. Billings will tell 1,000 to get one good one. At least that's the last count I kept. But I know. But by the way, you won't ever be in trouble. Dr. Billings and I are becoming crabby old men. We've been laughing about a joke all day and some variations of it. And I can't tell you what it is because Brother Fish told it, you know what kind he tells. But I'm 49 years old. I'm more giddy than I was when I was 25. And I'm not in danger of becoming a sourpuss when I get old. Live is, but not me. Not me. You know why? Because I aim to keep on using what God gave me. God gave me the ability to see the light side of things. I'm going to keep on using that talent. And God gave me the ability to scream good and loud, and I'm going to keep on screaming good and loud. And God gave me the ability, what little talents I've got and what little God's got invested in me, I'm going to keep on using it. Some of you folks are cheap, dishonest, crooked. You've been given a trust. God has given you a trust. He's invested in your life. And you said, this is light of mine. No, sir. Make it a bonfire. Don't keep it a little light. Invest. Grow. Multiply. Progress. Keep going. Forward. Onward. Upward. Never backward or downward. Never standing still. But you will stand still unless you keep going forward. Tomorrow I'll be flying to Atlanta, Georgia on an airplane. Suppose the pilot gets halfway down and stops going as far as I want to go. I'm just going to pull over to the curve here. No, he won't. No. I mean, either that thing keeps moving forward or down she goes. And either First Baptist Church of Hammond keeps moving forward or down she goes. Either our bus ministry keeps moving forward or down she goes. Hiles Anderson College keeps moving forward or down she goes. Hammond Baptist High School keeps moving forward, or down she goes. Grade school moves forward, or down she goes. Sunday school moves forward, or down she goes. Finances move forward, or down they go. Funeral home moves forward, or cemetery moves forward, or down we go. Told you I'd give 9 bad ones to get 1 good one. That's one reason I want to be a generous middle-aged man, because I want to be a generous old man. You show me a stingy young man, I'll show you a miserable miser and a tightwad when he gets older. There's a law, just as sure as I'm standing here, there's a law of keeping your money, making money, or you lose money. You show me any man of wealth in this world, and let me talk to him, and he won't have much cash in his pocket. Why? Because his money is out being used, invested, making other money. You then keep that. Listen, you keep. Did you ever try to put cash in your pocket? Have you ever noticed how it goes? I mean, just gone. Gone. Why? Cash wasn't meant to put in the pocket. Cash is meant to make more cash. Invest it. Invest it. That's why sometimes a man like Russell Anderson, and say, could you let me borrow $100,000? I need the $100,000. Can we borrow that much? And he can write back and say, I don't have that much. And sometimes he'll have to go down and borrow $25,000. Why? Because his money's tied up making more money. That's why. Either you keep it tied up making more money, or eventually you'll go broke. And either you keep that talent that God's given you active, or you'll go down. You keep going upward for God, or you'll go down. You keep going forward for God, or you'll go back. No middle ground. The Bible says everything brings forth after his kind. After his kind. Did you know that a person could come here in this church and visit, and if I were not here, he would know what kind of fellow I am? You know why? Because I have reflected my personality your way, and you, I hate to say this, but you are sort of a reflection of me. I can prove it. How many of you have written, since I started writing poetry, how many of you have written at least one, tried to write at least one poem? Be honest now. Raise your hand way up high. Way up high. Keep your hands up. Way up high. All right? All right? And none of you hardly wrote poetry before I started writing it. You said if he can do it, anybody can do it. And that stuff he puts out, I must be Shakespeare. That's one reason. Did you know, take Jim Lyons, for example. Did you know that Jim Lyons is, when he came to work for me, was one of the blandest personalities you'd ever meet? Never used any sarcasm or satire. Never insulted anybody as a joke. Never. He came to work for me. I ruined the guy. Ruined him. Now I hate to even get in a contest with him. He can beat me hands down. Did you know this man right here on the end? C.W. Fisk. There was a time when he was a wonderful fellow. Really? He came to work here. Now look what I did to him. I've confessed my sin to God time and time and time again, what I've done to this fellow. Boy, now, you just don't get it on him. Why? He can match wits with anybody. As far as insults and sarcasm is concerned, anybody. He sits over here and he's not taking notes, he's thinking of dirty things to say when he gets up next time. What have I done? I've rubbed off on him. Some of you folks tonight sitting here criticizing. You know why you do? Because you've been running around with a preacher or a church or a school that's critical. And you become what they become. And it's after his own kind. Joy brings more joy. Watch me. Watch me carefully. I'll show you what I mean. Everybody look at me now. It's catching, isn't it? Huh? Did you ever go around anybody that made you feel bad? I told you one time, I drove in one night, had a new sport coat on. I was a living doll. It was a pretty green sport coat. Black trousers, and had a green and black tie. The green was a perfect match with the coat. The black was a perfect match with the breeches. And I was something else. I never did think I looked any better in my life.
Now, I realize that I've passed the flower of my youth, and I realize that I am possessed of the five B's, baldness and bifocals and bridges and bulges and bunions, and I realize that. I'm aware of that. But there's sometimes when I get deceived and think I look nice. On this particular Wednesday night, I'd just gotten this sport coat and this tie and these trousers, and I was really the cat's meow. In those days, I parked over here in front of the door before we built this big facade wall out here. I got out of the car, and really, I was looked so nice until I didn't know how to walk because I knew everybody was going to whistle at me, you know. And so I wanted to act casual, and I walked in, you know. Before I got to the door, I never was so happy in my life. I never was so overcome in my life. I just knew if Leah Taylor saw me, she'd forget about Richard. I just knew that. And I walked in. Before I walked in the door, a lady said to me, she said, "Little House, have you had a vacation this year?" I said, "Why?" She said, "You feel all right?" I said, "Never felt better in my life." I walked inside the door. I hadn't closed the door in the hallway. Somebody met me and said, "Preacher, are you well?" Well, I said, "I feel pretty good." I walked down the hallway less than 60 feet to my office. I was putting the key in the office door, and somebody said, "Preacher, have you had a rest lately? How do you feel?" I said, "Not very good." I walked down to the fellowship hall to have a meal. A lady sitting across from the other table looked over and said, "Brother House, can I ask you a question?" I said, "No, you can't. I'm going for a checkup tomorrow and I feel lousy." You know why? You know why? Because characteristics reproduce themselves. You multiply what you have. You either keep earning or you slide back. You either keep going forward or you go backward. You either keep becoming more generous or become more miserly. I haven't thought about this in years. I recall one year here. Where's little Jones boy? Let's see, Jones boy. Jones is in a Crown Point. Oh, what's the name? John Jones. The John Jones that does the earth moving. Where are you? Where's that boy? Huh? Is your boy here? Upstairs. When your boy was a little tyke, remember? We were having trouble with Johnny. He had slugged the teacher in the stomach. Remember that? And I think he'd called her a liar. And he slugged her in the stomach, and I think he spit at her or something. I mean, just what teachers deserve. And so, something like that. He spit at her and slugged her in the stomach. And his mother brought her to my office, and she said, "Pastor, Johnny has done something terrible." I said, "What?" She said he spit at his teacher and slugged her in the stomach. I said, "Johnny, did you do that?" And he said, "Just a little fight." I said, "Johnny, I can't believe it. You would do that." "Well, no, I didn't mean to." And I said, "Now, Johnny, it's September. If you'll be a good boy for 3 months, and you won't slug any teachers in the stomach, or spit at any teachers, and you'll be a good boy, I mean, you'll be a perfect gentleman, I'll do something good for you. I'll take you on a date. Just you and I will have a date together, and we'll go out and have a big time. I'll buy you something, we'll go out and eat." Boy's eyes got big. And I said, "Is it Leo?" He said, "Boy, listen, he was an angel. Only for 3 months. He's gone back to the old ways now." But, boy, he was something else. About 2 days before Christmas, I drove out. Seemed like to me you lived out in Griffith then, didn't you? In Griffith. Drove in a driveway, lived out off the road, and got little Johnny. And we had a date. We went down to McDonald's, got a hamburger, French fries, cold drink. I took him up here to the Woodmar Shopping Center. We went into the Newberry's there. Is it Newberry's you see there?
and Newberry's, and I bought him a Christmas toy. Boy, we had a time. I talked to him, cut up with him. Boy, little old Johnny was so happy. I came to church the next Sunday morning and I told that story. Johnny had told his playmate. Now, wait till I get there. After I baptized that morning, walked out of the dressing room, the little boy was waiting for me. I said, "Hi, son. What can I do for you?" He said, "Pastor, I did something terrible." I said, "What did you do?" He said, "I spit at my teacher and hit her in the stomach." You see, he liked French fries too. And he wanted a date with the preacher. You know, before I walked down the steps, I had seven little boys slugging teachers and spitting at us. Our teachers had to take towels to school for weeks after that. Why? Because there's something about it that multiplies, isn't there? What you are increases. And as you grow older, you're going to be one of these sweet, delightful old saints of God that everyone loves. Or are you going to be a miserly old crab that nobody appreciates? It's after his kind. You will not complain, ever keep complaining, at exactly the rate you complain now. You will either increase your complaining or decrease your complaining. You will never be just exactly as generous as you are now. You will become more generous or you'll become less generous. You will never become more unselfish or more selfish. You either become more selfish or less selfish. You'll not stay where you are now. No way. Our Lord walks up and down these aisles tonight, and up and down these pews. And he says, "Here's old Jack Rose." Says, "Jack, let me see what you got. How much have you made for me?" And Jack looks up and says, "Lord, I've got more than I had when you gave it to me last year. I made some more." Lord says, "Here, Jack, you take it." He goes on down the aisle one at a time. And he does it on a regular basis. And he checks his dividends and sees what he's getting out of you. And if you're producing, he'll give you more power. If you're producing, he'll give you more wisdom. If you're producing, he'll give you more ability. If you're producing, he'll give you more opportunity. If you're producing, he'll give you a larger field. But if you look up and say, "Lord, I have buried that which you gave me," you're a hard taskmaster. The Lord will say, "Take it away from me." "Hell, let me have it, Jack. Let me have it." "You can't keep it, son. You've got the same thing I gave you. You're no better than you were. I'm going to take it and give it to somebody else." He'll bring me forth dividends. Compare yourself to what you used to be. How about your bus route? How about your Sunday school class? How about your prayer life? How about your soul winning? How about your separation? How about your generosity? How about it? How about it? Either you'll produce and God will give you more, or you will not produce and God will take what you have. It's enough preaching just to read it. "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." One question, and I'm through. What? What are you doing with God's investment in your life? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you take all the screaming and laughter and exhorting, hollering, teaching, I prefer you admit it together to teach my people a truth they'll never forget. They'll go forward or they'll go backward, but they won't sit still. They'll go up or they'll go down, but they won't sit still. They'll increase or they'll decrease, but they won't sit still. They'll grow or they'll shrink, but they won't sit still. They'll rise or they'll fall, but they won't sit still. And I pray you'd help my people to use that which thou hast invested in them to bring forth dividends to our God. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say tonight, Brother Hiles, the Holy Spirit took that truth, hit me right between the eyes. The Holy Spirit took that truth tonight and knocked me for a loop. I've been trying to hold the status quo. I thought I was sitting still, but realize I've been sliding back. You know one reason you think you're sitting still? Because you're around folks who are sitting still. You get with people that are moving and you'll think you'll see you're going back. You get folks moving fast enough and you'll think you're going back even if you're going forward. You fly sometimes on a big jet plane and fly by some little plane and it looks like it's going backwards. What are you doing with God's investment in you? What are you doing with God's investment in you? I wonder how many would say, Brother Hiles, tonight the Word of God hit me right between the eyes and God spoke to my heart tonight and I see it and I need God's help and your prayers. Would you lift your hand, please? All over the building. All over the building. You can lower your hand. One of the sad things is that people that need it most don't even know they need it. There are folks in this room tonight. You're sliding back, but you don't even know it. There are folks in this room tonight could stand here and testify what I've said. I could tell you some stories in our church in the last 2 or 3 months of people that tried to hold the status quo, and they lost what they had. Some tragic stories. They lost what they had. You know what you ought to do? You do it. Now, there are others of you who've come close to being saved. You come to the very door of being saved. You don't know that you're going to heaven, but you come to the very door. Now, you won't stay at that door. You'll come in or slide farther away. No, you won't stay where you are tonight. If you're not saved, you won't stay there. You'll get saved or you'll slide farther away from salvation than you've ever been before.